Happy Saturday, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of Flying Clubs Radio. I'm Steve Bateman. I'm joined by my Flying Club colleague, Drew Myers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. We really are having too much fun with Flying Clubs Radio, and thank you all so much for your positive comments. Please, don't forget to email us with ideas for future episodes. So, Steve, we mentioned Wings for Clubs a few times in Flying Clubs Radio, so perhaps you'd like to give us some more information on what you've been working on. To start with, where does this fit in with the overall framework of a flying club?
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Yeah, this all started brewing in my mind a few months ago, and it was a convergence of thoughts from four main areas. So firstly, as you know, I've been a fast team safety rep for some time now, and I really enjoy presenting and creating wing seminars, and now, of course, socially distanced webinars. But I've also recently become a wings pro, which means that I've done some extra training, and I'm well equipped to help other people get started with the wings program. I wonder who I can help. Now, secondly, I've been basing a lot of my wings presentations on data found in the NAL report. That's published every year by our friends in the Air Safety Institute. Quick summary, we're all flying more, and there are slightly fewer fatal accidents, but we're all still doing the same silly things, like running out of fuel, flying a perfectly good aeroplane into a hill, or just plain old loss of control. Now, you know my thoughts on loss of control. I don't believe it's a cause of accidents, but is definitely a result of accidents. So I like to dig further and understand what's causing this loss of control to happen. And I realize that consistent training and proficiency to known, approved, and accepted standards is the right way for us to start to put a dent, so to speak, in the accident stats.
Okay, that was 2 of 4.
Right, then thirdly, as a club safety officer, I want to move beyond the boring end of meeting safety session that no one really wants to listen to, especially since the treasurer has been droning on for the past hour on the budget. Now everyone just wants to get home.
Wait a second, aren't you the treasurer of your club as well?
Well, anyway, wouldn't it be super if there was a supply of safety materials, presentations, and so on that the safety officers could use to engage members? Wouldn't it be even better if there was some kind of reward structure that incentivized members to actively participate in safety meetings? Now, fourthly, we know from our insurance woes episode the other week that insurance companies are getting more hard-nosed for both new and renewing policies, and that they look favorably on individuals and clubs that follow some sort of safety program. Wouldn't it be nice if every club didn't have to reinvent the wheel and they could get an improved safety program that tracks and rewards participation?
Yeah, okay. I can see how this all fits together, at least on the conceptual side. We hear a lot about the idea of a club's safety culture. How would you say a club culture is created, and what does it really mean, Steve?
Yeah, we started talking about this a lot during the popular Flying Clubs workshops. And by the way, we've been doing Flying Club workshops now for over a year. And previously, we were doing them live in person. We would travel all around the country. But now we're doing them as AOPA webinars. So look out for that. Go onto the AOPA webinars website for more information about our club workshops. And I realized that culture was a word that everyone nods their heads to, but no one really knows what it means. It seems to be more of a, more of a feeling than a process. So I dug around a little bit and found some definitions and some common frameworks. First of all, a culture is the custom, is the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or social group. All right, that starts getting us somewhere. But we also realize that it involves, several core foundation stones. The first one is language. A culture needs a language. And gosh, we know that from aviation. We have our own language, and we share that common language when communicating and interacting. Then there are norms. Norms are expectations about rules of behavior created by essentially social controls. Values. Values are the things that people consider important, such as loyalty, hard work, compassion, knowledge, and I would add perhaps performing to particular levels of skill and proficiency. Beliefs are the things that most people in a society consider to be true. I think everyone would say, yes, we want to be known as a safety conscious flying club. And wouldn't it be great if we could use that to help us both individually and as the club? roles are the things which define a person's responsibilities, power, and influence. And we all have that as power, as pilot in control. But I think the club as an entity has some opportunity here to set the framework for a safety program. And CFIs most definitely have a responsibility. And then there are social collectives, which refer to the essentially the togetherness, the bonding, the belonging. And I think it would be wonderful if we could put a social and safety program together that really binds the club together. So in other words, it's a multidimensional framework of reference adopted by organizations to get things done. And for flying clubs, that safety culture is based around agreed, supported, and practiced behaviors.
Wow. Now that's what I call a deep dive there, Professor Dr. Stephen Charles Bateman.
Yeah, it is rather rad.
So what's wrong with the flying club saying that all their members are required to do a 12-month flight review, or the other one is, if you haven't flown the airplane in 90 days, you need another checkout?
We do hear of many clubs doing this, but they're missing the point. We're not striving just for currency, but we're striving for primarily proficiency. Now, also according to our friends at the AOPA legal team, second-guessing the FARs is not a smart thing for a club to do. So picture this. A club mandates the 12-month flight review, or perhaps another currency requirement, like the one you mentioned, 90 days if you haven't flown the airplane, you need to fly with an instructor. And it mandates that in its bylaws. And yet a member manages to book the aircraft, fly the airplane, say 92 days since their last flight, and something bad happens. Now, without doubt, the club's operational rules and bylaws will be investigated, and then some bright lawyer may state that the club clearly didn't reinforce its own rules, and so shares some liability.
Well, that sounds unfair. I mean, the club was just trying to do the right thing, right?
True, they were probably just trying to do that. And perhaps their club rules were changed sometime after an accident years ago. But the club has essentially taken on responsibility now for members' currency, rather than just leaving it up to each member acting as PIC. This is an important point. A club provides the operational framework for access to aircraft, social events, and so on, but it shouldn't be setting rules that exceed the requirements of the FARs. It's up to each of us as PIC to fly within the limitation and privileges of our certificate.
Yeah, fair enough. But what if the insurance company mandates 90-day checkouts and so on?
Yeah, true. An insurance company may well write in the policy that members have to participate in some sort of training. And we see this with clubs that operate more sophisticated aircraft. Again, I think what they're after there is proficiency. They're after skill level, not just saying I have flown the aircraft 5 hours and it may be the same 5 hours, not really improving their skills. Now, should an insurance company be the organization that tells us how we should fly? I don't think so. But if you want insurance and you want it to be honored when you make a claim, you'd better comply with the small print.
So I guess this really boils down to a business issue, mainly your club becoming uninsurable rather than a regulatory one. Perhaps all clubs should take the time to reread the conditions and limitations on their policies. But now that we're talking about it, I also recall in our Insurance Woes episode that we mentioned that you shouldn't just mechanically renew your insurance policy, but instead talk with your agent to get the best fit for your club, as it is today and not as it was 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I mean, you know, an example I give here is, okay, you've had the same essentially insurance policy for 5 years and all you do is renew it. Well, if you've got the same members, presumably they've been flying, so at least the number of hours have changed. So perhaps now you can negotiate a discount based upon improved number of hours that members have. Or, you know, maybe it's a different profile of members now, or members have achieved their instrument rating or commercial certificates. There's lots of reasons to talk with your insurance agent.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on, though, we hear a lot of talk about proficiency or currency and proficiency as though they were the same thing. What are your views on this?
So this is an important distinction. Currency is what the FARs tell us we need to do to remain current. But being current says nothing about how well or poorly you fly. You could fly several flights for currency, and if you didn't fly them very well, it certainly doesn't say anything about proficiency. Well, maybe it does. It says you're not very proficient. So proficiency, on the other hand, allows us to assess our performance, and it would be rather nice to have a set of approved standards that we can use for that assessment. And you know, there is such a set.
So are you going to tell us what it is?
I'm getting there, so just hold your horses. Now,
all right.
Let me creep up on this. So The FAA, the Air Safety Institute, and others have studied the accident data, and they've concluded that when assessing airmanship to a set of standards, we can have some degree of commonality, and that really helps us understand then what's happening with the accident statistics. So these standards should definitely cover risk management, aeronautical knowledge, and practical skills. And, you know, it shouldn't be any surprise that these are the three components of the airman certification standards. We're all familiar with the ACS when doing check rides, and hopefully it makes sense to all of us to be held to the same standards when we're doing flight reviews. But then in between, we go off and do silly things. I firmly believe we must aspire to these standards whenever we fly, and always when we fly, not just during the check ride or the flight review. If you think about it, those checkouts are just a small percentage of the time that we're actually flying. It's all too easy to drop into bad habits if we don't always hold ourselves to the same levels.
I seem to sense that we're moving nicely towards the topic of proficiency for members of flying clubs, Steve.
Indeed we are. With the background now set, let's think about the idea of a safety culture for flying clubs. What we need is a common set of beliefs, values, behaviors, standards for all members of a club, and if possible, across clubs. We could go off and invent one ourselves, and many mature clubs have created excellent safety programs. But why not use one that already exists, and what's more, was created and is fully supported and endorsed by the FAA itself for GA pilots? I'm talking about the FAST team and the WINGS program. It's all there. It's well documented, but you do have to read the user manual. You know, if we called it the WINGS POH, maybe more people would read it before launching off into the website. But there's hundreds of knowledge activities to choose from for your monthly safety meetings. There's detailed flight activities that cover many flight topics, all to ACS standards. And I think this is the bit that people maybe don't realize. WINGS is more than just some courses and quizzes. They are excellent and it provides excellent materials. But there are also flight topics. There are detailed flight topics all to ACS standards. Now, there's a reward system that assigns credits, which can lead to a pilot earning the equivalent of a flight review every 12 calendar months. If you take minimum of three of the knowledge topics, and you train to three of the flight activities with a CFI, all to CFI standards, you can then move towards a phase of WINGS. And the phase of WINGS essentially counts as a flight review, as long as you do those three knowledge and three flight activities within 12 calendar months. So here's the beauty of it. You're all, the club, together are working on the knowledge side of things, which helps. But you're all also flying with a CFI to take the flight activities to ACS standards. And you're doing that, three flights, every 12 calendar months, not just once every 24 calendar months. Now, also at the time of insurance renewal, you can send copies of all these transcripts to prove that you're a safe club.
Yeah, well put, Steve. This program exists and it has everything a flying club needs for a safety program. And once all members embrace it, it naturally creates a good safety culture. So how can the club get started on this?
Yeah, let's move to practical implementation. I really see two main levels of engagement. Firstly, individual members can, of course, use the WINGS program for their own proficiency. I'd call this WINGS for members, but the true impacts can be realized if all members, as encouraged by the club's operational rules, embrace it as WINGS for clubs. Individuals get their benefits, credits, WINGS phases, pins, and so on, but the club as a whole benefits from insurance considerations, and they get the reputation of being a safe club, which helps with recruitment. Now, of course, we strongly advocate the full Monty here, WINGS for clubs. So here's some ideas. We have got this written down in the May 2020 edition of Club Connector in the Question of the Month article. You can find that on our Flying Clubs website, but here's a quick review. So get started. Here's some options. Go to the faasafety.gov website and search for your local FAST team representative or WING Pro. It's very easy to do. You just have to go into the search area. Have your safety officer or an interested club member become a FAST team representative. Call up your local FISDO and speak with the FAST team program manager. They'll help you get started. You can also have your safety officer call or email Drew or me and we'll get you started. Then you want to kick it off. Make sure everyone reads the user guide. You know, we find that people who complain about the faasafety.gov website, they complain it's a bit difficult to use. But generally, these are the ones who haven't read the book. All club members get FAASafety.gov logins and they set up their profiles. Profiles are important because this is how you sort of steer the activities, the flight activities and the knowledge activities to what you would like to cover. Have an intro session with a FAAS team rep or Wings Pro. It's really easy to do this virtually using screen sharing. So do call me if you'd like me to do this for your club. And then start, not end, start every club meeting with a Wings knowledge activity. In this way, club members quickly get their knowledge credits. And it's a great way to start a meeting as well. Require that all club members fly with a CFI at least 3 times a year, and they follow the flight activities followed on the website. Then when a member has 3 knowledge credits and 3 flight credits in their profile and their logbook, they can earn a phase of Wings, and now they're eligible for renewal of their flight review requirement. Now, when you're doing this, invite local pilots to your Wings events. In other words, to the first part of your club meetings. They'll love you for it. So what's not to love about this? And oh, did I mention it's part of the FAA service and there's no additional charge apart from paying your taxes? One last parting thought. You know, whether you do Wings to earn a flight review or whether you do the 24 calendar month flight review, don't treat it as a chore. This is an opportunity to learn and improve, and always insist that you get value for money from your flight review. It truly is a gift from the FAA, so please embrace it as such.
Look at that. A gift from the FAA with a nice pink bow on top. That's just great. Like Steve said, do take a look at the May Club Connector question of the month for more details. And you can also check out the AOPA webinars page for flying clubs workshops that we're running over the next few months for more information. As always, you can also call Steve or myself, your friendly neighborhood flying clubs team, with any questions. So until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.